You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Morning. Morning, everyone. We're going to be having our New Year's service next Sunday. That will be January 3. So today is our last Sunday of the year. Amen. So it's interesting to think that 2020 has been so fast, perhaps. It feels like everything that has happened this year, para bang Juan, alam mo, parang yung tentacles ng octopus kung saan-saan napunta. And there were so many things that tried to choke us off. But today, what I'm going to be doing here is to hopefully prepare us for the new year. I'm going to preach on something that I think is important as we prepare ourselves for the fasting. If you're new to Victory, we do this every year. We have an annual prayer and fasting. So you are really welcome to join us in our prayer and fasting. The materials are downloadable in our website, victory.org.ph. So all you have to do is download the material. I'll be talking about radical Christianity. Okay lang ba yon? Kailangan lang siguro na as we end the year and start a brand new year, kailangan natin kalampagin sanali yung spirit natin, kumbaga, perhaps the way we live our Christian life is important as if we want to have a fruitful new year. Okay, turn your Bibles with me for a while to Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 down to verse 46. So this is Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. I'll do my best to make the preaching short here and just straight to the point. We pray for God's grace that He would really speak to every single one of us here this morning. It says here, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." What we have here are basically two parables. We will look into Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 to 46. And if you'd like for a title to this preaching, you can call this Treasures and Pearls. This is the parable of the treasure and the parable of the great pearl. And I do know that many of you are familiar with these stories already. Like what I said, this is a parable. I think we've labored enough to teach every single one of us the difference between a parable and a narrative. Is it right? A narrative, as we understand, is a story. A parable is just, to a certain extent, a metaphor. And in the teaching ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, He used a lot of extended metaphors like this parable right here. So a parable, in a sense, is like, if you would permit me to use this, say if you have servant kids church, you are a teacher at kids church, you know that in kids church, you use a lot of object lessons. We use object lessons in a way wherein you would use perhaps a keyboard and talk about this keyboard. And then after talking about this keyboard, we try to drive a point from that story. And that is what we have here. Okay, that is what we have here. This is simply a parable, but guess what? This is a truth-packed parable. There is something that Jesus would want us to understand in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 to 46. In verse 44, he starts saying this, the kingdom of heaven is like. Okay, he starts saying that the kingdom of heaven is like. So he likens the kingdom to these two stories. So first, obviously, we will be talking about the kingdom of heaven. So in a sense, we will be talking about your Christianity. Amen? We will be talking about your relationship with Jesus. We will be talking about your faith. Now, it doesn't really matter if you have been a Christian for just 3 years, 3 months, 10 years, 15 years, 25 years. Nonetheless, at the end of the day, this is for you. Amen? This is for you. Now, who am I here can at least say that you're looking forward to a 2021 wherein you see yourself growing in your Christian walk. That you will not remain as you are. You want to grow in your walk. You want to grow in your relationship with Christ. You want to grow in your devotion for Christ. You want to grow in your commitment to the kingdom. Then this is what we will be looking into here this morning. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So obviously, you know, when Jesus starts sharing a parable, he starts considering the culture and context that is in place. So he doesn't talk about random things. He would always consider culture. And in here, we see here, he says that there was a man who found a treasure hidden in a field. So this entire story in verse 44 in itself pictures what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says, it is like a man who found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So first, let's try to understand the cultural perspective of this. Let's try to understand the context at which Jesus is sharing this. First, it is common for people in the olden days, at least in the days of Christ and prior to his days, it is quite common for them to bury their treasures. In a sense that they buried their treasures simply because they didn't have an efficient banking system that time. It's a common practice for them, especially the man of the household, to bury their treasure. That could be a family heirloom, that could be jewelries, that could be gold, that could be silver, and all of these things. But the thing here is that we understand that there is also a volatility in their situation. There's a volatility in the situation wherein we understand that there's a consideration of the frequency of war. Okay, a frequency of battle. You would see that even in your Bibles, right? That the problem there is that when the man of the household starts burying his treasures underneath and he goes to war, there is a danger that he gets killed in the war and the story of his treasure and the location of his treasure gets lost with him or dies with him. Right? Are you folks getting the picture? They bury the treasure, but it's a volatile situation. If the person gets killed, nobody would know where the treasure is. All right? And then here it says, now there was a man, this story talks about a man, who accidentally stumbles upon a treasure. I'd like for you to understand this. He accidentally stumbles upon a treasure. He was not on a quest for treasure. He wasn't looking for treasure. He simply stumbles upon a treasure. It could be that he was walking in the perimeter of the vicinity of a certain place. It could be he was there for a morning stroll or an evening stroll, and he stumbles upon it. And as he starts digging, he realized that there's something about this. He realized that it is a treasure. He realized that there's treasure hidden beneath it. You know, perhaps 15 minutes into finding a treasure, it was an ordinary day. But who we can say that the moment you stumble upon a treasure, you know for a fact that it was no longer an ordinary day. Everything has changed. And that is what we have here. And here's what he does. What he does is, then in his joy, it says here, in his joy he goes, look at this one, and sells all that he has. He sells all that he has and buys that field. This man who stumbles upon the treasure makes a bold move, a bold plan of selling everything that he has. He sells everything that he has to purchase the land where the treasure was nestled. There are two stories here. The second story talks about a merchant. Perhaps the merchant was a rich person. This guy probably isn't a rich man, but it says here, it gives us a picture that he went home and he started liquidating his stuff. Started gathering, perhaps if you equate that to our days right now, he would start selling his motorcycle. He would start selling his clothes. He would start selling everything that he has in order to have much money to buy the field. Are folks getting the picture? And this is the story that we have here. In a sense, here's what he did. In a sense, this man impoverished himself. Are you folks catching this? This man impoverished himself. He took off everything that he has in order for him to purchase the field. Why would the man impoverish himself? Why would the man impoverish himself? He would impoverish himself because he knew for a fact that there was more in the field than what he would be losing. There was more in the field than what he would be losing. What is this story all about? Again, this is all about the what? The kingdom of heaven. According to Jesus here, there's like a huge trade-off. Do you realize that Christianity, to a certain extent, is about a trade-off. That if you want to grow in your devotion for Christ, if you're someone who truly wants the kingdom of God, then friends, there is a trade-off. Something has to be sacrificed. Everybody look up here for a while. I promise you this. You will never grow if you will not sacrifice something. There's no way for you to grow in your walk with Christ if you will not sacrifice something. He understood one thing. There was more in the field than what he would be losing. Then in verse 45, Jesus shifts to another story. But still, this is still about the kingdom of heaven. And he starts saying again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. A while ago, we had an ordinary person who stumbled upon a treasure in the field. Now here, we have a merchant who is in search of fine pearls. Then it says here, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The first story talks about an ordinary man who found a treasure. And this story talks about a merchant, a trader who makes his living by trading pearls. We have here a pearl merchant who understands the trade. But the difference is, this merchant was on a quest. The other one was just a random guy walking. The other one was seeking. The other one just discovered something. This one right here is actually looking for something. Then the story says, as he was doing his trade, he discovered one pearl that beats all other pearls. He discovered one treasure. The thing with the merchant is, he is used to seeing treasure. The first guy, perhaps that was his first time to see or discover a treasure, but this guy is facing treasures every single day of his life. He is used to seeing treasures, but upon seeing a treasure that beats all other treasures, it says here, he went home and sells everything that he has to get this treasure. Merchants during their time would go to as far as India just to look for fine pearls. Cleopatra was said to own 1.8 billion in peso worth of pearls. Tried converting that. To find and trade fine pearls is a lucrative business. But when he found a pearl that beats all other pearls, here's what happened. Who, on finding one pearl of great value, it says here, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's interesting. The first man stumbles upon a treasure, goes home, liquidates everything that he has, sells everything, and went back to buy the field. Why? Because we said he realized that there was more in the field than what he would be losing. This man right here found a pearl that beats all other pearls. And what happened here was that he sells everything and buys the fine pearl. Why? The same question, why? Because what he is getting is more than what he is giving up. Because he understands that what he is getting is more than what he is giving up. Let me just say this as early as now. This is a story about lordship. This is a story about lordship. At the end of the day, littered in your Bibles, in the New Testament, especially the Gospels, are calls for Jesus for radical Christianity or radical discipleship. In a sense, Jesus is saying that you cannot love me and love the world at the same time. that you cannot step into the kingdom of God and leave one foot behind in the kingdom of darkness. And I tell you what, nothing can be more frustrating than that. If you're a discipler, you're a preacher, you know that that is the most frustrating one. When people live in hypocrisy. When people do not live with a repentant heart. When people are not willing to give up and sacrifice what they have for the sake of the kingdom. There's one word to describe these two men, and the word is illumine. I'm not using the theological word illumination, but they were simply illumined in a sense that when you say illumined, they were able to what? To make the right decision with a great consideration. So meaning to say they weighed these things with great consideration and they made the right decision. And their decision was, sell all that I have to gain the treasures in the field. Sell all that I have to gain the pearl that beats all other pearls. It says here, let me just read the verses again. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Two different stories telling us the same thing. That when they found something that was more weighty, that was more substantial, they sold everything that they had in order to gain this. In order to pursue this. The word all here in its original Greek is the word pass, which means thoroughly whatsoever. And here's my proposition to all of you. For all of you, even to all of you who are watching this, if we want the kingdom so badly, I want you to understand this, there is no minimizing the cost. There is no minimizing the cost. If you want the kingdom so badly, if you want to grow in your Christianity, if you want to grow in your faith, there is no minimizing the cost. Guess what? On this pulpit right here, we won't be preaching messages that will tell you that you have to minimize the cost. But we will preach messages and sermons that will challenge you to learn to count the cost. As you follow Christ. As we all follow Christ. Interesting. Just by looking at the story, I ask this question. What is the cost? You know what the cost is? The cost is everything. That's what the story tells me. Do you folks realize that in a sense, if we want to preach what the Bible teaches, if you learn to choose carefully who you listen to in YouTube, if someone just preaches what the Bible teaches, you'd come to understand that we will have a Christianity that is not appealing by telling you that you have to minimize the cost or minimize the damage to you. I was just talking with a group of men 2 weeks ago. We were looking at Luke chapter 14. I was talking with the volunteers last Saturday. We also look at Luke chapter 14. And it says there is a cost. There is a cost to Christianity. I pray for all of us, Victory Dumaguete, that our walk will not just be papetics-petics. I pray that we will live true Christianity without hypocrisy. That we will learn to count the cost for the sake of the kingdom. It's true that a lot of times we say that in the church, in the kingdom, you come as you are. Is it right? We come as we are. But we do not remain as we are. Are you the same person as you were 5 years ago? Is your palate still the same? Is your palate still craving for alcohol? Is your eye still laying on pornographic materials and X-rated movies, whatever those things are? Are you still unfaithful to your wife? Do we still love to flirt around? Well, yes, sinners should be in church. Is it right? We ought to be in church. We come as we are, no problem. But guess what? In the area of discipleship, we do not remain as we are. If after listening to so many sermons about the kingdom and your commitment to the church is still this minuscule, there is something wrong with you. If you cannot simply obey simple things that the Bible teaches us, then there is something that you need to do. You ought to repent then. You know, if you go and look into the Beatitudes of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first few sermons rather in Matthew chapter 5, we would understand that the gospel starts with Jesus talking about the kingdom. He starts talking about what the kingdom is like. And here's an interesting thing. Every kingdom is determined or described by two things. Its power, the kingship of its ruler, and its dominion. It talks about the king and the subjects. And I'd like for you to understand this. Jesus here is saying that we are talking about the kingdom of heaven. So in the end, he was like saying that if you are going into the kingdom of God, you are the one who is coming into his kingdom, then we are the one who ought to subject ourselves to his rulership. Ang pangit lang ng Christianity ng tao pagka iniisip nila that everything is about them. Never about us. There is a cost to discipleship and there is no minimizing the cost. There is a cost to discipleship and there is no minimizing the cost. There is no halfway to get it. There is not a way of just trying it out. These two guys right here understood one thing, that the one that they were getting is of supreme value. How valuable is the kingdom of God to you? My prayer is we will have this kind of attitude. That you will be more than willing to learn to give up a relationship that doesn't honor God. If you're here, you are in a relationship, you're not married, and you're defiling the marriage bed by having sex outside of marriage, then I tell you what, this is a challenge for you. You ought not to be doing that, as you understand. If you're cheating in your business dealings, this is for you. I don't desire for a church to grow by the thousands, but grow desolate. We cannot grow in numbers, yet grow just an inch deep. So I'm challenging everyone then to start writing down some things before the new year starts and start writing down what are the things that I need to liquidate. Then I tell you what, that will prepare you for the fasting. That will prepare you for the new year. The The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Look at this one. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. Here's what Paul says. But whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. That which he lost, he considers those a rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. You know, Paul in Philippians words it out for every single one of us. You know, the details of this story in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 to 46 says that they bought the field. The other one bought the pearl. It doesn't mean that the kingdom is for sale. Come on now. You're not entirely fine just because you gave your offering. Because a lot of times we feel like if we have given our offering, we're totally okay with God. That is just an aspect of our worship. But the way we live our life is another aspect of our worship as well. It doesn't mean that the kingdom is for sale. Our willingness to sell everything is the way to receive, not to earn the kingdom of heaven. However accidental or intentional the search is, there is but one response. These two guys sold all that he had. In a sense, these two guys impoverished themselves. We see that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Let me just go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. It says here, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. You know, they realized that If there's one aspect about the kingdom that we have to understand, about Christianity that we have to understand, it is traversing from self-sovereignty to God's sovereignty. It's giving up your sovereignty, surrendering yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the sad reality is? The sad reality sometimes is, If the areas of our life are not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, it could mean one thing, that perhaps you are not in the kingdom. Malungkot po yun. Hindi po lahat ng nasa church, hindi po lahat ng nasa simbahan, Kristiyano. Coming to a service doesn't mean you're saved. A life of repentance, a life of sacrifice, a life of lordship is a picture that you are a kingdom person. That you live in the kingdom of God. The problem with us sometimes is we feel like your Christianity is like a taekwondo degree. Nag-church lang, black belter, Christian na. ang sukatan po ng Christianity, friends. And I pray that you will remember this for 2021. Ang sukatan ng Christianity, Lordship. Ang sukatan ng Lordship, sacrifice. At hindi sacrifice yan kung walang kurot yan. God demands far more from you. That's true. Is Christianity demanding? What do you think? Does Christianity demand something from you? Obviously, yes. Is Christianity demanding? Obviously, yes. He demands far more from you, but gives far more to you than what you can think of. Kung perspective lang po yung pag-uusapan, if you don't understand how glorious the gospel is, then you will not trade off your pearls if you do not understand the true value of this fine pearl. Like what I said, there's no way for you to live a fruitful Christian walk if you do not understand who God is and what He is like. There are things that we have to give or surrender down the road. I promise you that. You know what breaks my heart a lot of times? A lot of times what breaks my heart is when I see, you know, friends that we got to disciple here, live a strong Christian life here, ending up giving up all of those convictions once they're out of Dumaguete. Sometimes it's also sad that, you know, Christians, even pastors, succumb to personal branding. Like what I said, this is never about us. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Look at this one. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Look at this one. They did not sacrifice and after which had joy. Isn't it? But it says here, in joy they sacrifice. See? Like what I was saying, you have to take everything into consideration. If you understand what you're getting, you're more than willing and you'll be joyful to give this garbage up for the sake of the kingdom. Everything else is less valuable because of the exceeding preciousness of Christ and His kingdom. Victory Dumaguete, is there a joy in your Christianity? Is there a joy in your Christianity? Because I think joy comes in if you understand what the kingdom is like. If you understand how precious the gospel is. If you understand how holy God is and how sinful you are. And yet God has set in motion a plan to redeem you. Remember what I said last Sunday? We realize that we are not bad people after all. But we're evil one. Always put it in your mind. And then here, God offers us a treasure. So the simple response is, all right, if this is how great the treasure is, I might just leave these things behind. I might just cut off this relationship. Because these baggages do not belong to my new life in the kingdom. This isn't about a duty-driven life of obedience, but a life of joyful submission to the rule and the reign of God. a lot of times, as I'm teaching this, I'm not espousing lordship salvation. No, we are saved by what? By grace through faith. Lordship is an evidence of a truly converted heart. Here's a simple question for you in 2021. Every time you do something, always ask this question: if I do this, does this honor God? Does this relationship honor God? I'm about to get into a transaction with this person. Will this honor God? I'm about to say something to my friend. Will this honor God? Guess what? If you start asking that question, you will indeed learn to honor God. Next time you feel like gossiping, ask the question, will that honor God? This isn't about a duty-driven life of obedience, but a life of joyful submission. Joyful submission to the rule and the reign of God. When we submit ourselves into the rule of God, to a certain extent, we understand that it is not comfortable. But we can be joyful in doing that. How can we have joy then? Perhaps this is how we can have joy for 2021. That we can learn to count Christ as our treasure. We've lost quite a number of things this year. Is it right? Some of us lost our jobs. Some of us were demoted perhaps. But you folks know that we can still have joy if we understand that ultimately our treasure is Christ. Is Christ our treasure? Because if Christ is our treasure, then we will have joy. I know of a friend in church. I can't even imagine losing a parent. I know of a volunteer in the church who lost her mom. And you know, of course, you know, when a relative would pass away, you know, we would come and console the person, we'd talk to the person, we would grieve with the person. Interestingly, while the person was grieving, the person was full of joy. And what a sight to behold. Not that she was happy that her mother died. It's just that she understands that ultimately Christ is her treasure. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. Allow me to read these verses for us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. But whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and may share His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. If we truly understand the kingdom, we are more than willing to leave things behind. Amen? If we understand who God is and what He is like. I've talked to a person, this was 2 years ago. I told him, I've been seeing you in church and I know that you are not new in the church because you are a Victory Group leader. I'm just curious, I asked him, Why is it that when we sing worship to the Lord, you fold your hands like this? I'm just curious. Why? I'm not saying that it's required to lift your hands. I'm just saying, why do you cross your hands while we're worshiping? I ask that question because if I read the Bible, I realize, man, this God that I worship is not a teeny minuscule God that I control. This is to whom he himself said to Moses, the prophet, you remove your sandals for the place where you stand is a holy ground. And that was just his manifestation. And then you come before the presence of God and cross your arms? How dare you? Let's do it this way, church. Individually and as a church, start the year with repentance. Get a paper. Allow me to be prescriptive now. Get a paper, get a pen, sit down. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what are the things in my life that I need to repent from? Start writing it down. You'd be so amazed. You'll have more than 20 in your list. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what are the things that I have to repent from? Guess what? You'll keep writing and writing and writing, and you'll realize one thing. You'll realize, my goodness, I am such a sinner before a holy God. And the only response is this, and that is to repent of my sins. Because that is not representative of Christianity. I challenge you, even for those of you who are watching right now, I don't desire to see you living a Christian walk that is the same as this year or last year. There's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. Can you imagine what this city would be like if we are all passionate for the kingdom of God? Would you imagine dads, fathers? Can you imagine what your family will be like if you're passionate for the kingdom of God? Can you imagine what your marriage will look like if you're only passionate for the kingdom of God? Can you imagine what your workplace would look like if you're not a lukewarm Christian, if you're not ashamed in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Real Christianity is full of repentance. And like what I said, a repentant heart is a result of a tender heart. A tender heart is a result of a heart that always goes into God's Word more than your social media. A tender heart is only brought in by what? By our time with God's Word. Because there's nothing to repent if you don't know that you've fallen off the standards of God. Let it be a year of repentance for every single one of us. Learn to repent, count the cost. And I pray that by the end of 2021, you will live a fruitful life, a life that honors God, glorifies God. A life that is not Christianity for bio data only. But when people see your life, they know for a fact that you are a God worshiper. I'm going to invite us to worship God here for a while.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.